Cooperation, number 16 in the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, September the 23rd, 2020.
All right, we're going to continue our look at Baptist Faith and Message. The word cooperation is an important word in Baptist life, and Southern Baptist life in particular. When you look up the word cooperative in the dictionary, Webster defines it as marked by a willingness and an ability to work with others. Well, if that's the definition, then to talk about cooperative Baptist seems something of an oxymoron. These are terms that don't seem to go together. I don't know if you've noticed it, but Baptists tend to be hard-headed and stubborn. And our favorite method of church planting is still the church split. And yet, cooperation is a big part, it's a hallmark of who we are, and it has been from the very beginning. As early as the 17th century in England, Baptists began to bring their churches together in association where they would cooperate together in gospel work. And so it's always been a part of Baptist life. It was there in England, it was in the colonies, and it remains at the heart of what we're doing today as Baptists. Most of us, if we've been in Baptist life, Southern Baptist life, very long at all, we hear the word cooperation, and the first thing that comes to our mind is the cooperative program. And that's understandable. Cooperative program has been a part of Southern Baptist life since 1925. It became the funding method of how are we going to fund our mission effort? How are we going to pay for missionaries and support our schools and do the work that we feel like we need to do together? And growing out of the understanding of Baptist cooperation and growing out of the principle of cooperation from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about the church and he describes it as a body with various parts that are dependent upon one another. Baptists early on said, we can accomplish a lot more together than we could ever do independently. We can do more together than we could ever do on our own. And we know that to be true. We know that's true of individuals. It's also true of churches. It's true of associations, state, and national conventions. For instance, if we as a church decided we were just going to support a missionary, we're not going to be part of a larger work. We're just going to be on our own. If we sacrificed and if we worked really hard, we might be able to partially support one missionary. But through our work together as Southern Baptists, we support 3,000 international missionaries, another 4,000 to 5,000 across North America, support 6 seminaries across the country, and a host of other works. So we're accomplishing far more together than we could ever do on our own. And so that's why we are working together. That's why we're part of a greater network of churches. It's not just us. It's us in cooperation with others. Now, there are three kinds of cooperation in Baptist life. And I'm using the word kind rather than level, because if you say there are three levels of cooperation, that implies some kind of connection. And it implies some kind of authority. So you got a level one, then you got a level two, then you got a level three that's up here. And that implies that there's some kind of oversight involved in that. And these different kinds of cooperation are related, but they're not connected. And so I think it's better to use the term kind of cooperation. The first kind of cooperation is the association. That's the local level. That's the one closest to the local independent Southern Baptist Church. Associations are generally formed in geographical areas as Baptists cooperate together. Again, going back to 1650 in England, remember that the Baptists in England in the 17th century, they were the ones known as the dissenters. They were not part of the established church. And keep in mind that this was at a time when people died for that sort of thing. So these churches found a way to connect with one another for encouragement and mutual support. Really, associational work in the early days was about survival. How are we going to survive as a church? And so they banded together for that purpose of supporting and encouraging one another. The First Baptist Association in the colonies was in Philadelphia in 1707. The first association in the South came to Charleston, South Carolina in 1751. So these churches would join together for a cooperative work and accomplish the work of the kingdom together. And yet there was no authority within that connection. They were connected, but it wasn't a matter that as they formed an association, the association had power or authority over the local congregation. They were still independent churches that voluntarily joined together. And actually, the purpose of the association is to serve the churches. So it's not a matter that the association is the boss over the church, or the association dictates to the church what they need to do. Again, they tend to be in a geographical area. For the most part, in areas of this country where Baptists are strong, most associations cover a county geographically. We're part of the Tulsa Metro Baptist Network. We changed the name a couple of years ago. They thought the word association was not understood in today's culture, so they changed it to network. But the Tulsa Baptist Network covers Tulsa County, 160-some churches and missions cooperating together. Now, we've got some churches that are in Rogers County. We've got a few over in Creek County. But for the most part, it's Tulsa County. There is a growing trend in Southern Baptist life about association, and that is they're being formed out of doctrinal concerns or other affinities for one another. So it's not limited to geography. I know of one association, the Spurgeon Baptist Association. They have churches from Kansas, Missouri, and Kentucky. And they've joined together around a doctrinal conviction. These are more Calvinistic churches, and they wanted to band together with other Calvinistic-minded churches. And so there's a lot more of that happening, and I think that's going to be a growing trend. I think we're going to see more and more of that, given the culture we're living in. I think it's also going to be changing because of the number of churches closing. And there are going to be some areas of the country that there are going to be some folks that feel like there are not enough like-minded churches right here close to us to band together. So we're going to band together with some other folks that we have relationship with. And with communication and travel, you don't have to be in the same location anymore. But there is something given up if you're not part of a local group. The purpose of the association is for a group of churches in an area to impact their area. And so that's why they bound together within a geographical area to say, we want to be a gospel witness right here in this location, and we need to do that together. So I think it's going to remain, but I'm not going to be surprised if there are some changes. But the first level is the associational level. A second kind of cooperation is the state convention. Associations in Baptist life began to do ministry. And some of that was they started colleges, they started orphanages, they started other works. And before long, churches in a given association were finding out, this is a financial endeavor beyond what we can accomplish. And so they naturally then joined with other associations in their area, and that led to the formation of state conventions. So various associations and churches within a given area, then moved into a structure of statewide cooperation. The first state convention was formed again in the South in 1821, again in Charleston, South Carolina. So the association formed in 1751, and by 1821, the state convention was formed. The Baptist Union Convention of Oklahoma formed in 1906. And that's an interesting story. In 1906, the Baptist General Convention of Indian Territory held its final session at the First Baptist Church in Shawnee, Oklahoma. On the same date, the Oklahoma Baptist State Convention held its final session at the First Methodist Church in Shawnee. And they, at an appointed time, the two conventions literally walked out of those two churches and met together in the street and then walked two by two to the Shawnee Opera House and established the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Those two competing associations within the state, or conventions within the state, became a single convention in 1906. And it's interesting, those, that convention, churches were duly aligned with the Northern Baptist Convention and the Southern Baptist Convention. But by 1914, the churches in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma were no longer aligned at all with the Northern Baptist, and they were solely aligned with the Southern Baptist Convention. Again, this cooperation was voluntary, and there's no authority. The state convention has no authority over associations and has no authority over local churches. So then a third kind of cooperation is the national, and that's the Southern Baptist Convention, formed in 1845. And the purpose was to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of the Baptist denomination. So these are three kinds of cooperation, starting on a local level with other churches within a given region. Then there is another level, or another kind of cooperation on a state level. And then there is the national cooperation. All three are independent decisions. All three are independent relationships. And so a church can choose to align with any or all of those three levels. They can be aligned with the association and none of the others, or they can be aligned with the association and the national, or they can be aligned with the association and the state, or they can be with the state and the national. They're all three independent decisions, and they're not connected. You don't join, a church doesn't join Tulsa Baptist Network, and that joining of the network makes them a member of the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, which then makes them a member of the Southern Baptist Convention. They're all three separate, and you can be a member of one or two or all three in any combination you want. They're separate, distinct decisions. So that's hard to understand. It's confusing to understand on a lot of levels, but that is the way we're structured. And we're going to come back to that in a minute, but every Southern Baptist church is a local, autonomous Southern Baptist church. And there's no connection. The association has no say over what we do as a church. The state convention cannot come in and tell us what we can or cannot do, what literature we use or do not use, or any of that. And the national can't. The only authority any of those cooperating bodies has is to say, we will not recognize you at our annual meeting, and we will not seat you as messengers. That's the only authority they have. They can say, we refuse to be in cooperation with you, but they have no authority over us. So if there's a problem here at the church and we need some help, we could ask if the director of the Tulsa Metro Baptist Network would come in and help us maybe moderate a meeting to try to resolve some conflict, or we could ask somebody from the state or whatever. But they have to be asked in, and they only have the authority that the church grants them for the particular purpose that we've asked them in. We are cooperating together on a voluntary basis. We are a convention rather than a denomination. And I know that's a technical point, but it's a significant point. The truth is, the Southern Baptist Convention exists 2 days a year. And then it goes out of existence and comes back into existence the next annual meeting. In between time, the executive committee, elected by, put in place by the convention, operates and does the convention's business in the time between annual meetings. And so we come back together and we ratify decisions made, or we counteract decisions made. But technically, we only exist those 2 days that the convention exists. Got the same issue on state level and on down. It's a loose, voluntary connection. Okay, that's background. So now let's look at the statement on cooperation for Baptist Faith and Message. It is Article 14 of the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. And it's exactly the same as the 1925. It's the same as the 63. There's no change in the wording at all on this one. Christ's people should, as occasion requires, organize such associations and convention as may best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. So, again, it's formed for the basis of carrying on kingdom work, or kingdom objectives, accomplishing the work of the kingdom. And it comes together for that purpose. Again, doing more together than we could ever do on our own. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. So again, just like they have no authority over the church, they have no authority over each other. It's all voluntary. The state convention is in voluntary cooperation with the national convention. And they're in voluntary cooperation with the local association. So there's not an authoritative level. Despite the way we think, it's not a matter that a decision is made in Nashville and it's handed down and everybody in Oklahoma City has to do what Nashville says and everybody throughout the state of Oklahoma has to do whatever the state convention says. We can ignore anything and everything that they send down if we want to. Because we are in voluntary cooperation and they do not have authority over us. These organizations, these cooperative bodies are voluntary and advisory bodies designed to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of the people in the most effective manner. So again, their role is an advisory role. This is what we suggest. You know, we have Sunday school work through the state convention, and their job is to say, if you want help in Sunday school, here are some resources. We would love to come in and help you with that, and we want to advise you on the best way to do this, but we're not bound by that. We're not obligated by it. It's an advisory role to help elicit and to direct and to make efficient the work that we do together. Members of New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. So again, education, benevolence, and evangelistic work for the purpose of taking the gospel to the world, extending Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is a spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Cooperation is desirable between the various Christian denominations when the end to be obtained is itself justified, and when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ and His Word, as revealed in the New Testament. So basically, we're saying that there are various kinds of cooperation, local, state, national. All are voluntary. These are things we should do. These bodies that are formed are there to serve as an advisory role to help us to recruit and equip people to carry out the work of the gospel. So in theory, if not always in practice, in theory, the association, the state, the national convention supports the local church. The local church is king. It's not a top-down, it's a bottom-up structure. It's not a matter that the word comes down from on high and this is what we need to do. We say, this is our work, this is what we feel like we need to do, and the association, the state, and the national convention are there to be resources to help us accomplish the work that we feel called of God to do. That's the way we are structured. Then that's what makes us different from other church groups and others that are truly denominations. We are independent, self-governing, autonomous, and they're there to be resources to us, and we use what we want to use, and we reject what we want to reject. They are there in place to serve us. And this was a big thing a few years ago in the Tulsa Baptist Network. There was some serious conversations and studies done, and we decided we were going to do work differently as the Tulsa Metro Association. And so we formed teams, a church planting team, a church revitalization team, a pastoral leadership and development team. And these teams then would oversee budget in their area, and the whole goal was to support the local church. Instead of the association having programs that the churches needed to do, our association now says, our job is to support you. What do you need, and how can we serve you? That's why, as an association, we did away with our camp. Tulsa Metro Baptist Network does not have a camp. Talakogi is a separate entity. It was turned over to them, and they have their own governing board. Day Spring Ministry is not a ministry of the Tulsa Metro Baptist Network. It is now an independent work. And the rationale was that God didn't establish associations to carry on the work of the kingdom. God established churches to carry on the work of the kingdom. So Tulsa Metro Baptist Network got out of the ministry business and went into the equipping business. That's why they restructured the way they did. That's why they rearranged the budget and everything. There are pluses and minuses to that approach. There are things that are good about it. There are things that are not so good about it. It looks great on paper, but like a lot of things that look great on paper, there are things that get overlooked and fall through the cracks. And so it's been a struggle, and it's not always been successful, but that's why the decision was made, and it grows out of our understanding of Baptist structure and how Baptists cooperate together. It is interesting that we have in our statement a statement of the need to cooperate with other denominations. And that's a sticking point, too. I have friends that worked for the International Mission Board. And we went through a time when we had leadership and the trustees of the International Mission Board that didn't like the idea of our Baptist missionaries in various parts of the world cooperating with other denominations. They said we shouldn't be doing that. But the problem is, if you're serving in a hostile part of the world where there are only a handful of Christians and just a couple of mission groups, if you don't cooperate with some of these other Bible-believing, Christ-honoring people, even though you differ with them in some significant ways, but you both preach and believe the gospel, it's going to be extremely hard to get anything done. So our missionaries on the field were saying, look, go back to our statement of faith. It's been a part of our statement of faith since 1925, and we say we should cooperate with other Christian denominations with certain parameters. One, that the end is justified. In other words, that it does serve a gospel purpose. That it serves to advance the kingdom of God. Second, that it involves no violation of conscience. That it doesn't demand that we violate something that we hold dear, that we believe is important, that we believe is scriptural. And third, no compromise of truth. So it's not just a wholesale, we'll join with anyone and everyone for any cause or any purpose, but it says when it comes to preaching the gospel, when it comes to cooperating with some others to take the gospel to an unreached community, to an unreached people group, and this group believes the gospel like we do, they preach salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone, but they may have a different view on this or that, we're going to cooperate with them to the extent we can. And I think that's the right thing to do. I think that's a very Baptist thing to do. And it's built into our structure. Now, here's the thing about cooperation. I cannot expect lockstep agreement doctrinally with churches and groups as I move out from my church. The level of agreement that we enjoy as a church cannot be expected as we move out to the association with 160 other churches and expect that we're going to be in lockstep on everything. We're going to be on the essentials. And because in the association, we're talking about, we're all Southern Baptist churches and we all sign off on the Baptist faith and message, there should be an awful lot of agreement, but there are going to be differences. As I move out from the association to the state, then to the national, you're including more and more people with more and more different ways of looking at things and doing things. There's going to be less agreement the further I move out. And so I just need to acknowledge that and understand that not every church in Tulsa Metro Baptist Network is going to see everything the same way we do here at Trinity. There are going to be differences. We can't expect that every church in the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma are going to see things exactly the same. They're going to allow some things we might not allow. They're going to do some things that we would cringe at, but we can still cooperate because we agree about more than we disagree. And then the same thing on the national level. And that's not easy, and it's not always easy to draw those lines. But it comes back to this. Every single Southern Baptist church is an independent, autonomous Baptist church that chooses to cooperate with other independent, autonomous Baptist churches. It's the old saying, you can always tell a Baptist. You can't tell him much, but you can tell him. We're not going to be in agreement about everything. But we can cooperate together even if we don't agree on everything. And just because I cooperate with another church does not mean I endorse everything connected with that church, everything that church does or says, or every member of that church and so forth. I go back to a couple of years ago. I was sitting in an associational meeting. It was a church petitioning to be part of the association. During the questioning of that church, the leaders were asked, do you have any women on staff? Are there any women serving in ministerial positions in your church currently? And would you consider ever having a woman as pastor of your church? Well, the young men who were part of this new church start said, currently we do not. We can't say definitive right now. We're going to be open to whatever we believe the Scripture teaches and what we believe the Lord would lead us to do. So I can't stand here today and say we would never have a woman on our staff. I can't say that because I don't know, and I don't know what the circumstances are. And there was some talk, and some people said, well, that's fine because you don't right now, so I don't have any problems, and I want to affirm you at this point. And I stood up and I said, well, wait a minute. I appreciate the honesty of these men. The honesty to admit to you, they can't say definitively that that will never happen. If you're going to sit here now and say, we'll cooperate with you, don't turn around 2 years from now and cut their throat because they do something you don't like. We can cooperate together even if we're not in full agreement on everything. So if you're concerned that this is something they may do, do them and us and everybody else a favor and vote now not to include them. You have to be willing to say there will be things that certain churches within this group will do or say that I'm not going to agree with. But I'm in agreement with so much more, I can still cooperate with you for the work of the gospel for the sake of the kingdom. That's my perspective, and I think that's a biblical approach. Again, I don't believe I'm compromised. I don't believe our church is compromised. If there is a church within our association, within the state, or within the national convention, who differs now, if they deny the gospel, fine, we'll need to address that. If they deny fundamental Baptist doctrine, if they change their view of baptism, then I think we say, all right, you're no longer Baptist. You now have denied Baptist doctrine. So, yes, there are things that we do draw a line and say, no more cooperation now because you've crossed this line. But those need to be on central doctrinal issues and not disagreement on lesser things, not on disagreement on tertiary or third level things. You don't draw a line of fellowship because they have a different view of eschatology or because they have a different way that they structure or a different way that they may do church that differs from the way I want to do it. It needs to be substantive difference, and it needs to be the kind of difference that we say this becomes a gospel issue. So we need to allow for cooperation that does not demand uniformity and lockstep on everything. James Sullivan, who was the president of the Sunday School Board of the SBC from like 1953, I think, to 75. So 29, 30 years he was president of the Sunday School Board. He wrote a book on Baptist polity, and the name of the book was A Rope of Sand with the Strength of Steel. That is a good way to describe the cooperation of our churches. It's a rope of sand. It's going to fall apart if we don't decide and determine we are going to cooperate together because we're not really connected. We're connected solely on a voluntary basis, not any other way. So I think that's a good analogy. But when we cooperate together and we are determined together to accomplish something great for the kingdom of God, it is as strong as steel. So I like that analogy. I think it's appropriate in understanding how we are connected and understanding that cooperation is at the heart of Baptist life, it's at the heart of Southern Baptist life, and it's been a part of who we are from our earliest days. And strong enough that since 1925, it's been an article in our statement of faith. Again, there are advantages and disadvantages to our structure. But I think the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. And I'm very comfortable with being a Southern Baptist. And I'm not at a point that I'm ready to abandon the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not going to say I never would walk away from it. other than to say, I really don't think it'd be me walking away from it. I think it'd be it walking away from me. If the convention leaves its doctrinal roots and becomes something other than what it has always been, yeah, I can part way. But we're not there. There are problems, there are issues, but in my opinion, we are not there yet. And so I think we need to stay hooked up and a part of the local, the state, and our national convention. Questions or comments? None? You're not going to disagree with me? That's not a very Baptist thing.
That was mine. Come on.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. And let's have a word of prayer together and dismiss, all right? Father, I thank you for your mercies and your grace. Lord, I'm grateful for the work that we are involved in together as part of the Southern Baptist Convention, as part of the Tulsa Metro Network and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Lord, I know that none of those groups, none of those organizations are perfect because none of us are perfect. And we are all stumbling toward holiness and righteousness. But Lord, I pray that you would grant us courage to stand for the truth, to boldly declare the truth of the gospel, to not compromise. And yet at the same time, to be loving toward one another and cooperative where we can be. Lord, these are hard and difficult times. We're living in an age where secularism is rising rapidly. And very soon, we're going to need others that we cling to. We can't fight this battle alone. Yes, by your strength and power, we can endure anything. But Lord, we're going to need one another. So grant us hearts of compassion and love, but also courage of conviction to stand our ground. Father, I thank you for the church that you've given to us. I'm grateful for my family here. Grateful for time we get to spend together in this way on Wednesday night. And Lord, I'm grateful that we are back together on Sunday morning, and we're going to be adding others soon. Father, I pray your grace and peace. Guard our hearts and minds. Cause us to come this Sunday expecting great things and worshiping you in truth and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.